you're in. Man, you're in. All right, let's bless this day. Father, we love you. In this time together, we're just so glad that we can just be together. Father, bless us in the word that we're going to teach tonight. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And everybody say amen. Yeah, continue to pray, man. A lot of crazy things are happening, but we've been forewarned, and hopefully you've been making your proper preparations in your life. And do pray that they catch these bad guys, amen. I just had a feeling they were going to be in this area. I don't really know if they are right now, but according to Pastor Jennifer, all the police department left downtown like in one shot. They were gone. So they were chasing somebody. I think Cindy said somebody flew by her house with a policeman behind it. So I don't know. Maybe we got Smokey and the Bandit going on around here. I don't know. But they got them? Oh, well, they're going to get them. We prayed, and they're going to get them. Yeah, so we'll find out if it's going to be a 50 cents life sentence, which is about the price of a round, or, you know, a couple million dollars. Anyways, so we just need to get them caught. That's just craziness that took place around us. Amen. All right, Kingdom Perspective. Last time we got together, we talked about prayer. And so we're going to be ministering on prayer until the Lord directs me differently. I hope this has been blessing you. I've got some good reports from other folks, really appreciating it. I know it's always a challenge when you talk about prayer, but I hope that you're receiving it in a different light rather than the religious light that's out there, the ritual that religiosity wants you to be tied into, and it really struggles your relationship with God. We need to be free. Look at your neighbor and say, I need to be free. I just need to be free. And one of the areas we need freedom is in prayer. And so last time we got together, we talked about the dynamics of prayer. I gave you a couple quotes, and I want to go ahead and quote them again just to refresh. But prayer is more than words. It is the communication of the total man. Prayer is more than words. It's the communication of the total man. My mouth, my mind, my body can communicate with the Spirit of God. As does my spirit man. So we have to understand that. We got to understand that we are a total man. We're a spirit, a soul, and a body. And so many times we're taught that prayer is just, you know, saying words and communicating that way, but there's so much more than that. We separate prayer as a vocal action, repeating routine and ritual, but prayer is a lifestyle. How many of y'all remember that? Prayer is a lifestyle, so it's more than a vocal action. It's more than a routine that becomes a ritual, and we become rusty, if you will. We become stagnant in our relationship with God. All right, so it's how we live, and it's how we do life. So remember that prayer is communication with God, but it is having a prayer conscience. If you don't like the word conscience, then it's a prayer attitude. It's a prayer mindset that our minds should always be geared towards prayer. Our minds should always be geared towards God from the beginning of the morning to the middle of the day, throughout the day to the end of the day. Our mind should be on God. It should be on His presence. It should be on His goodness. It should be on everything about Him that we know of Him through the Word of God. That's how we can pray without ceasing. We talked about in 1 Kings 3, you remember that, about loving the Lord and how that Solomon, he walked in the statutes of his daddy David. Man, that's pretty big. He said, I love the Lord, man, and I want to walk in the statutes of my dad. I want to walk in the statutes of this great king. That was a tall order, wasn't it? And then it goes on, we talked about how they met at the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. They got together, there Solomon fell asleep, and then the dream, and then how that dream was a prayer. So I won't go through and all that, but I want you to remember the two types of prayers. The two types of prayer, I should say, was mechanical and relational. Which one do you want, mechanical or relational? I desire to have a relational type of prayer life rather than mechanical. Religion teaches you the mechanics of prayer. Now, as we go down further into this journey, I'm going to teach you theology. I'll teach you some aspects about prayer. I'll teach you different things that the Bible says about prayer. But the main aspect that I want you to have rooted in your heart is that I am going to have a prayer life that is relational, not mechanical. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants me to get through to you this time of teaching. All right, so prayer for tonight. Let me give you this opening statement. Your perception of prayer will determine the level of reception from prayer. Your perception of prayer, or your view of prayer, will determine the level of reception from prayer. You got that down? I'm going to say it one more time. Your perception of prayer, how you view prayer, how you view the whole relationship with you and God in your prayer life, will determine the level of reception from prayer. And some subcategories of that is having the proper view. Do I have the proper view of faith? Do I have that proper view of relationship that deals with acceptance? See, a lot of times we're hindered in our prayer life because we don't realize the access that you have been given through the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't realize how much God is for you. And we become hindered. Come on now. Our youth, our upbringing as children really affects our prayer life and our relationship with God, because many times we look at the Father the way we do our earthly parents. And we have to have that erased from us. We have to have that removed from us and replaced with the real understanding of who God is. Come on now. He's your Father. He has an everlasting love for you. So your perception of prayer will determine the level of reception from prayer. So again, the subtitle of faith, acceptance, expectation. That's another thing. These are things you should be writing down. Expectation. What is your expectation? What is your perception of prayer? When you pray, do you just pray to be religious and get it off of your conscience, to spend a little time with the egg timer? Come on, somebody. You spend a little bit of time just to say, I prayed for the day. I did my 15 minutes in the car. I got that off of my heart. I really don't expect God to do anything. Or do you come in with the perception of expectation? I expect something to happen when I pray. I expect God to hear me. I expect his ear to be open to the cry of the righteous. I expect his arm that's not too short that it cannot save. I expect everything that he did for those in the Old Testament, those in the New Testament, those in our modern days. I expect everything he did for those to happen to me. You see, that will determine how you receive during a time of prayer. Another subcategory there is joy. Do you have joy in your prayer? Do you have joy in your relationship with God? You know, there's some people who are married who don't like talking to each other. Let me find somewhere safe. Let me go to the single section. There's a lot of people that they say they like somebody, but they don't hardly spend any time with them. But if you have joy in your relationship with God, joy in prayer, joy speaking to him, man, that determines so much of what's going to happen through your prayer life. And then another one is hunger. These are just subcategories. These are things I'm just throwing out there to get your mind to think about perspective. How do you view, man? How do you view this thing called prayer, this wonderful dynamic? And remember, I teach from the principle that prayer is communication, it's communion, it's fellowship with God. It's not just asking him for things. He already knows what you need. He already has full understanding of what we need. Just look at the birds outside. So hunger. Do you hunger to be in prayer and communication with God? Do you hunger to continuously be in communion with him? See, that will determine the level of reception. That will determine the level of what you get out of your prayer life. Woo. Now listen to this. The Father's response can be affected by our approach to him. The Father's response can be affected by our approach to him. Remember, he wants to bless you with every heavenly blessing. He wants you to have the kingdom. That's his desire. It's his good pleasure. He wants to bless you beyond your imaginations. That's not just things and stuff. That is a content heart. That's peace with God. That's knowing that everything is well with you and him. But there's many times that we can have our prayers affected the blessings affected, the flow of what God wants to do. Hebrews 11:6 says, man, that we should come to his presence. We should expect these things because he's a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. We got to present ourselves and say, God, I believe you, man. I believe that you love me with an everlasting love. I believe that I'm having communication with you right now. Somehow, some way, I don't understand it, but the other billions of people right now are all being muted while I talk to you. I don't understand it, but right now I receive it. I receive I'm in fellowship with you. I receive that I'm the apple of your eye, the apex of your creation, and I'm awesome in your sight because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. If you died for anybody, you die for me. In fact, you did die just for me. Do you see that? Your relationship becomes second to none. Because in God's eye, that's how he looks at you. In God's heart, that's how he looks at you individually. And this information is too wonderful for people to receive. Again, because of the way you were brought up. But when we're baptized into truth and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, we're engrafted into the vine. Come on, somebody. And our hearts become circumcised. We begin to see things in a new way. We see it in a new and living way. We see it the way God sees it. So I'm not who I used to be. The old man's dead. See, I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. I have a new relationship with God. I'm not in competition with no one in this room or nobody outside of this room because my relationship is awesome all by itself. Oh, y'all better help me. Some of y'all can't say that because our attitudes of feeling so low and so down and all these things, we've been pressurized because of church and religion. We just can't stack up. No, you can't stack up. That's why the blood of Jesus is applied. That's why you have grace. That's why the Holy Spirit allows you to have boldness to walk in. I'm feeling good already. It's not even Sunday. I feel like preaching this thing. But I don't know about you, but I dealt with condemnation for most of my beginning of my Christian life, I should say, of just feeling condemned that I wasn't good enough. But you need to have that broken off of you and realize and recognize that you've been accepted in the beloved. Woo! I'm telling you right now, you got a place at the table. Do you realize that? You got a seat already reserved. There's a place already for you. God's already prepared the place for you, and Jesus is the access to it all. So why are we hindered in our prayer? Oh, if we know all these things and these things are true, then what keeps us from gaining access and getting into his presence and understanding and receiving the benefits of it? Again, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who constantly seek him. And I'm going to talk about it in just a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm liking it too much. It's like somebody giving you one piece of pie. That ain't enough. Just give me the whole thing, man. Just give me the whole thing, especially if it's Carvel ice cream cake. Anybody like that? Some of y'all don't know what Carvel is. It's like speaking German in here. Now watch this. So the Father's response can be affected by our approach to him. Listen, God doesn't bless beggars necessarily by nature. God doesn't bless whiners by nature, complainers. In other words, I'm supposed to come to God in faith, believing that he is, believing that he can do it, believing that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all to ever ask or think, according to what? The power that already works in me. What is that power? The power of faith, the power of the kingdom, the power of being born again, Christ within me, the hope of glory. And so when we apply that understanding, we can see the blessings of God. When we don't apply that, then a lot of times we're hindered in our prayers. Let me give you something the Holy Spirit showed me. He spoke to me the other day, and he said, I want you to minister on the prayer of David. And I said, okay, you know, there's so many different places. So he brought me to Psalms chapter 24. Let's go there real quick. I'm going to show you something that he showed me. Psalms chapter 24. This is a psalm of David. But as I told you, we're going to get out of this ritual and religious routine of trying to categorize everything. Though, again, I'm going to get into the specifics of teaching on prayer. Right now, in this beginning, you've got to understand that prayer is communication. That's the first thing I want you to understand. Communication, communion, fellowship with God. But he showed me that this is a really cool structure from what David said in this particular psalm. I'm going to teach from that perspective, and I'm going to show you several keys. Is that all right? And I'm going to help you use this again, as that structure. Don't really like using the word formula, but if you want to say that, that's fine. But it's more of a structure of how we should approach God in our prayer time and what our heart should be like. And I'm going to tell you, blessings will come to you through this. Again, when I say blessings, man, I'm not talking about stuff. I'm just talking about life, just life happening to you. God blessing you, God providing for you, having a clear conscience. Wouldn't that be nice? Knowing that you go to bed in peace, that you've done well by everybody you possibly could, and have peace with God. That's something that this nation is missing. We're missing peace. We have no peace because we don't have the Prince of Peace. So let's go. Are you there? Verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Key number one, I want you to write down, is the acknowledgement of his greatness. Acknowledgement of his greatness. Key number one, acknowledgement of his greatness. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. David recognized and realized the totality of who God was and what God did and the possession that God has and the gift that God gave to man. He said, the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. Everything, every creature, everything created, he fully recognized. And here's the question that I ask you, and only you can answer this, and it will determine how you really pray and how you really receive. How big is God to you? How big is God to you? How much authority does God really have to you? Now, we say that. We say complete and we say total. Then our prayers should be in line with that reality that God created everything. There is no limitations to him. All things are possible. Come on. But David began and he acknowledged the greatness of God. And he says, watch this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And the world and all they that dwell in there. In other words, everything that was created. He's even Lord of the soil. He's even Lord of the dirt. He's the Lord of it all. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords over everything that you see, every single person, every single place, every single plant, every single flower, every single tree. Come on, this may seem elementary to many people, but the reality is we need to see God bigger than we see him right now. Because what happens in our humanity is we look at three-dimensional. We look at our situations. We look at our circumstances. We look at how we feel. We look at what we can see. Come on now. It's hard to have big faith when your checkbook's a little low for some folk. Some folk don't bother them. But a lot of people have faith on what they can see. True faith is in what you can't see, but you know it's there. So David makes this acknowledgement. He says, great is my God. He is tremendous. I acknowledge his greatness. So in our beginning of our prayer structure here and the communication with God, we have to acknowledge his greatness no matter what we're facing, no matter what we are dealing with. The other thing David did was this. And you have to ask yourself this. How much of the earth does God own? Well, we say that, but we limit God in our prayer life. We limit God on possessing things. We limit God on taking dominion. We limit God in our life. We limit God in our health. We limit God because we still have this mentality that the devil rules the world. The devil doesn't rule the world. He is on a leash. And we must always understand that the devil is God's devil and that God is in control. Can anybody say amen? And so in this acknowledging of greatness of who God is, and we look at what David said here, we have to apply that to our prayer life and say, let me tell you something, man. I am fully aware of the greatness of my God. When I come to prayer, I understand that He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills too. I understand everything about His greatness through the Word of God, and the devil doesn't own anything. The devil doesn't own me. He doesn't own you. He doesn't own your body. He doesn't own your family. He doesn't own your health. And you have to remind him of it. Jesus gave us the victory. You see? And so in the beginning, we have to have that indelible mark put in our minds. And many people say, well, yeah, you know, I already know that, preacher. But your life and what you pray and what you say is opposite of what you're thinking. There's a difference between mental ascension of what you know from being taught than what is inside of you that's been caught. Amen. I can teach precept all night long, but until it hits you in revelation and just buries deep inside your spirit and gets rooted and grounded, it's never going to produce fruit. Because this next strong wind of adversity that comes to you, that teaching goes out the window and you're calling your best friend for prayer. Ain't nothing wrong calling your best friend for prayer, but your best friend should be Jesus. You should be praying. You should be speaking dominion. You should be declaring, decreeing how great my God is. Amen. Is anybody with me? I feel like I'm all alone, but it's the truth. So number one, key number one is acknowledgement of His greatness, not just lip service. Please understand this. This is not just saying, oh, God, you're great. This is inside the heart. This is rooted. This is part of your DNA. This is a part of your prayer life, your faith life, everything about you. When you're home and no one else is around you, this is you. Because anybody's tough in church. Everybody's tough in church. Everybody's a strong warrior Christian, but what are we when we walk out and something hits us or our mother-in-law comes over? Yeah. Then you fall apart. Come on, or something in life hits you and all of a sudden you've gone from that great prayer warrior that everybody thinks you may be in church to the person that's calling the prayer lines or whatever, just totally freaking out, losing your faith in God. See, David understood. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He said, man, He's got it all. And I'm totally satisfied with that. Some people even question, did Jesus really win at the cross of Calvary? Well, really, did He really win? Did He really give me the victory? Did He really give me the victory of divine health? The Bible says that by His stripes you are healed. So I think that answers yes. So we stand on that. And I'm not belittling any fights that we may have in our flesh. We're dealing with things. We go through things. There's a battle. There's a reason. And there's different seasons and all those things. But the understanding is this. We have to acknowledge His greatness in every area of our life. That God, You're greater than this. You're greater than what I'm facing. You're greater than my fight. You're greater than my struggle. You're greater than my enemy. You're greater than the sins of this nation. You're greater than anything. And I put my faith and my trust in You. And so when I pray that big. Is anybody here? So David brings that out. Look at verse 2. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and He established it upon the floods. Key number 2, acceptance of His sovereignty. Key number 1, acknowledgement of His greatness. Key number 2 is acceptance of His sovereignty. I accept the sovereignty that You established, You fixed this earth, You fixed everything in its position, You established it upon the floods, upon the sea. You did it. I acknowledge Your sovereignty. I acknowledge Your creative power. You see, God can do whatever He wants to do. He can do anything. He can flip everything. He can flip a switch automatically in your life. Your life can change tomorrow morning. One phone call, one letter, one visit at your office, one knock on your door, one something, everything changes. We need to pray that way. We need to pray the sovereignty of God. We need to pray the acknowledgement of Him and the acceptance of sovereignty and realize that, God, You created everything. You imagine the earth, it rotates on its axis, and not one drop of the ocean spills out of its boundaries. And the massiveness of the universe and the massiveness of the oceans yet explored. There's places even on top, on the planet itself, we've never explored. Yet there's places within the ocean we've never explored. It would take 1,000 Jacques Cousteau's. Some of y'all remember him. I love that man. That guy, I don't think he was saved, but to just go discover the oceans. Isn't that amazing? See, we pray too small because we think too small. Because we don't understand the totality of who God is, and we limit Him in our prayers. Do you see? Does anybody see this? Because most of us, when we pray so shallow. We pray three-dimensional. God is in the fourth dimension. We always pray in what we see, we taste, we touch. We're so emotional. But man, if we dive into the Word and we let the Spirit of God illuminate revelation to us, man, it expands us and we'll be able to expound in our prayer life and we begin to say, God, there's nothing impossible for Him. See, I believe that's coming today when limbs are going to grow back in the church, where we're going to see mighty miracles of God. Eyes will come back. Missing parts. I believe that. I believe in the supernatural realm of God that's going to take place as we pierce into that dimension and grab hold of that reality. But we're not going to get it when we're just trying to get our little bit of daily bread or our light bill paid. I'm not saying that, that's a small seed. Okay, I got it. But the reality is it's time. If we've been in church 20 years or so, we ought to be praying beyond that. So I have to have the acceptance of His sovereignty, His mighty creative power, and who He is. And that's what David said, man. He's like, for He's founded upon the seas and established upon the floods. Verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? Now, let me share something with you about Psalms 24 that is so powerful. This whole Psalms here deals with David receiving the Ark of the Covenant back. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 through 23. Go back and read it. This psalm is talking about receiving the joy of salvation, the joy of the presence of God. Now watch this. Why is that important, and why is it part of a prayer structure? Because it ought to be the way that we feel about being born again. We ought to feel this way every day, that we have the Ark of the Covenant. We've got the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now liveth in us, and it quickens our mortal body. We're alive unto Christ, and we're dead unto sin. You mean you could feel that way every day? Yep. Every day. You got to make yourself feel that way, but it's inside of you. You got to stir yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. You've got to stir yourself up like David did. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm not saying this is just something instant, but you have to will to do it. Study that, man. 2 Samuel 6, 1 through 23, the Ark of the Covenant, it comes back. David's excited, man. The presence of the Lord is back. And this is where he made this declaration. He said, man, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He recognized and realized that if God was able to get the Ark back from the Philistines' hands, that God can do anything. Well, why don't we feel the same way when we recognize and realize that God took us from the hands of the devil? I'll never forget what Jesus did for me. I'll never go back to the vomit of my past. Never, never, ever. Because I'm so grateful to be born again. How about you? And so I want you to understand, this is the reason why David wrote that psalm. This is why this prayer comes out. This is why this joy that's unspeakable and full of glory is being revealed from David's heart. And this is the way our prayer life should be. Is that okay? It's an ongoing relationship. Now watch this. He says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in this holy place? You ready? Here's how you do it. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Look at it again. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Somebody that is honest before God. I told you one of my favorite teachings about David is transparency. David was one of the most transparent men in the Bible. He was honest with God about his sin. He was honest with God about his shortcomings. He was honest with God about his hunger to please him. He became a man after God's own heart, but he was transparent. And I believe that is another key that we must have in our walk, in our prayer life, is transparency before God. Having clean hands and a pure heart. How do we get that? We get it through the blood of the Lamb. We get it through the washing of the water of the Word, like the brazen laver that the high priest washed themselves in. That's how we get cleansed. That's how we become sanctified, if you want, and consecrated by the power of the Holy Spirit. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, I kept my tongue from lying. I kept my tongue from my neighbor. I kept my tongue from saying things that I shouldn't say. How many of y'all know that ain't easy? That's not easy. The tongue is a very unruly weapon and tool many times. Watch verse 5. This is the reward. He shall receive. Does that say a blessing? What? Oh, the blessing. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Look at that one more time. He shall receive the blessing, the commanded blessing. It's a perpetual blessing, not a blessing. And a blessing is a one-time thing that I give you, a one-time gift. But covenant and covenant relationship with God is perpetual. It's never-ending. So the reward that comes from presenting myself clean before God, presenting myself in hunger and the aspects of what David was showing us, brings me to the place of the commanded blessing of God. You ever wondered why some people walk in blessings consistently and constantly? Because there's a commanded blessing on them. It's not because they're cleverer than you. It's not because God loves them as far as levels of love. He may favor them a little more, but favor is given through understanding and knowledge and obedience. Remember, I've told you many times, favor's not fair. But it's a reality. And so many people look at the blessings, they say, well, it's got to be money, it's got to be this or that. No, it doesn't have to be that. It could, again, be just the peace of God that rules and reigns inside of your heart. But I've seen people in the church and say, man, they're really blessed. They may not have the most, they may not have the best, but they're constantly blessed. That's the way I want to live, amen. So he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He's talking about covenant. All that is covenant language right there. So again, if I'm taking myself into prayer and I'm going into the presence of God, if I have these things in my heart as an indelible mark, it's rooted and grounded within me, then when I stand before God and I pray, I will be understanding of what is mine and what is his and what our relationship is. And I'm going to tell you, it'll change your prayer life. It'll change how you receive things from God. Because most people, when they go to pray, they complain and whine. Can you wave at me? Wave at me if it's your neighbor. Come, we do it. I mean, we do. We do. We get in ruts and all these things. But I'm trying to get us out of this. I want this congregation, those listening over different media platforms, I want you to get out of this religious chain that you're wearing, this bondage, this coat of nails and weight that's on you, and get into a relationship with God. That's phenomenal. Watch this, verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. It's a really bad translation. It should be, O God of Jacob, or it could be, even Jacob. There's different translations, but he said, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. What does that mean? Selah means think about it, ponder. But it means the generation that does this, the generation that pursues God, that goes before him with clean hands and understands the sovereignty of God and so on and so forth, that's the generation that's going to receive the reward. Another example of that, I love this part. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, and you can go back and look at that, verses 11 through 12, Obed-Edom. You remember him? Obed-Edom, what happened? The Ark of the Covenant goes to his house, is that right? What happens? The whole house gets blessed. Not just him, but the whole house got blessed. Everything got turned around. He went from being a poor Levite, I believe he was a Levite, he went from being poor to being blessed. You know how long it took? 3 months. See, God can turn it around in no time. Maybe your turnaround's 3 minutes. Maybe it's 3 weeks. Maybe it's 3 years. I don't know. But the point is this, that here it was. He said, this generation of them that seek him, they seek your face. The whole understanding is the blessings will come to those who go after his presence, for those who go after him in prayer in the right way, to have that perpetual, consistent blessing of God. That's what I want in my life. I don't want to go up and down like this. How many of y'all experience that? And there are times when we have ebb and flows of relationship and we grow, and there's times that God allow us to go in the wilderness. He'll put us in the desert situation so our taproot system can grow deeper. We can find fresher water and revelation with him. He always allows that to take place. But I don't want my relationship like that with God. I want to be consistently moving up. If anybody has ever been in business before, you want to see this. You don't want to see this. Good arrow, bad arrow. Going down is not good. Amen. So watch this. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be you lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. There's a whole lot of teaching there, but here's what I want you to see in verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be you lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Here's another key, key number three, stay consistent, keep that head lifted up, keep the gates lifted up, keep your arms lifted up, keep your life lifted up, keep your prayer lifted up, and what's going to happen? The King of glory is going to come in. You see, that's what God desires more than anything. It's not that we have eloquent prayers. It's not based on how long we stand there in our prayer time. It is based on consistency, and it's based on him coming in and being invited so that he can dwell with you and make a habitation with you. Some of the greatest prayer warriors that have ever walked the face of the earth never touched a microphone in one hand and never had a Bible in the other. There were the unknown. There were the ladies in the church that you never heard of. There were people in the background that you never knew of. There were the grandmothers who were shut-ins, who prayed for mighty men and women of God to be birthed into the earth. They were consistent. He says, so lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to lift them up. Who is this King of glory? I love the ending here. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Again, what's your perception of who God is? Is he the Lord that's mighty, that's strong? Is he the Lord of the battle? Is he mighty in battle? Or do you have a perception that what's going on in your life is bigger and more dangerous and more costly, if you will, it's going to be more painful than the blessing of God? We used to say this all the time. I remember growing up in a little church, and they would say, you can have a big devil and a little God, or a big God and a little devil. How many of y'all remember that? I think that still rings true today. What is your perception of the Father? What is your perception of this King of glory? See, David was getting the Ark of the Covenant back. He was getting the presence of God back. he was getting the joy of his salvation, the thrill of his life, the passion of everything he pursued. He was getting it back, and he recognized and realized who God is. I'm telling you, we have to get that back in our prayer lives. If we're ever going to see dominion in the signs and wonders and miracles that God has reserved for the body of Christ in this last day, we're going to have to get a hold of God again. We're going to have to know how to pray. We're going to have to know how to have a relationship with him that we call the glory down from heaven. In verse 9, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Not a maybe. He's not thinking about it. He shall come in. Where is he going to come into? Your life. Where is he going to come into? Your prayers. He's going to come into your presence. He's going to permeate your atmosphere. He's going to transcend time and space and dwell among you in your life. Be careful now while you're driving. The presence of the Lord could overcome you. Amen. How many of you have ever had to do that? I've had to pull over because the glory was so thick in the car, man. If I ever got pulled over, I probably wouldn't have passed. Verse 10. I wouldn't have passed the drunk test thing. Who is the King of glory? Who is he? But who is he to you? Who is he? Is he Savior? Is he Deliverer? Is he Healer? Is he the Lord strong and mighty in battle? Is he the soon and coming King? Is he the reigning, ruling monarch of the universe? Does he have everything in the palm of his hands? Who is he? Who is this King of glory? Who is he to you? See, this is a question that has to echo deep inside of your spirit and reverberate out of your mouth in prayer and say, let me tell you who he is to me. He's everything to me. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's my all in all. He's my strength. He's the length of my days. He's my life. He's my joy that's unspeakable. He is everything. And let me tell you something. You want to see your prayer life activated and see heaven and angels activated, pray the word of God. Pray this revelation and pray this truth and recognize who God is. Because I'm going to tell you something. The devil and the demons already know. And they fear and tremble when you declare this truth. And I'm telling you, we got to activate this again in the body of Christ. So finally, we need to proclaim, declare, prophesy who he is. Proclaim, declare, prophesy who he is. Do that during your prayer time. And this is what David was expressing. He was proclaiming, let me tell you who God is. He was declaring, let me tell you who God is. He was prophesying it. Who God is. Let me give you this last statement. Entertain his presence through prayer. And like Obed-Edom, you and your house will be blessed. Entertain his presence through prayer. And like Obed-Edom, you and your house will be blessed. You say, Pastor, how does that apply to the end times and the days we're living in? Well, it applies exactly. Not one aspect of understanding of the Word of God will ever change. And we're going to need to demonstrate who God is in these last days. Amen. As I close, I ask for you to pray for all the situations taking place, not only this nation, but around the world. Pray for London, for that's going on over there, that God would, they need a revival over there as bad as we do. And we just ask God's grace. Heavenly Father, we love you. So glad to be in the house tonight. Help us to pray in a way that is just full of passion. The Holy Spirit, you would just help us to do that. And Lord, we would be like David, so thankful for our salvation, so thankful for the presence of God that now dwells within us. Lord, we love you. Bless the family day on Saturday. Father, we ask for the rain to stay away. Let us be able to minister, Father God, and then get back into the house of God on Sunday. We love you, Jesus. We bless you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Love everybody. See you Saturday.